ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 4. Naimishe nimishakshetre rishayah shaunakadayah satram swargaya lokaya सहस्र सममासत। नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र सममासत। नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र सममासत। नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र सममासतः। नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र सममासतः। नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र सममासद। नैमिषे, इन द फॉरेस्ट नोन एज नैमिषारण्य। अनिमिष क्षेत्रे, द स्पॉट विच इज स्पेशली अ फेवरेट ऑफ विष्णु, who does not close his eyelids, rishayah, sages, shaunakadayah, headed by the sage Shaunaka, satram, sacrifice, swargaya, the Lord who is glorified in heaven, Lokaya. And for the devotees who are always in touch with the Lord. Sahasra. 1,000. Samam. Years. Asata. Performed. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shaunaka assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of Lord and his devotees. Purport. The prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous 3 shlokas. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was repeated for a second time at Naimisharanya. In the Vayaviya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Puran, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of the demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmanas prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shaunaka and others assembled at this holy place of Naimisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the great sages know it well, and therefore, for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered, and one attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans, which are being made by atheistic leaders, are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose. And this will be explained more specifically later in the text. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarum Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Today is the disappearance day of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And I was asked to speak some words in appreciation of Srila Prabhupada's life and contribution. The reason why the appearance day, the disappearance day are significant events of the lives of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas are put in the Vaishnava calendar to be observed, to be celebrated, to be remembered, is because of several reasons. There can be many reasons. But one is to acknowledge with gratitude how much sacrifice has gone behind what we are able to enjoy in our lives. Also, we learn the value of what gift we have received and appreciate the struggle behind achieving it, so that we may not take whatever gifts we have been given for granted. And also understand what it takes to get what we have received. Just like every nation has in their calendars celebration of some days dedicated to some national leaders who inspired and brought the whole nation together, gave them a very special status what they are able to enjoy today, probably fought against the slavery of against foreign invaders and got them freedom. So the days of freedom, the days of those leaders' birth and their significant events are put in the calendar so that people can develop an appreciation for what they have. If nations celebrate significant events of their national leaders, what to speak of those powerful acharyas who accept the whole humanity as their family? Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. In fact, the whole universe, the material creation, as their extended family, because they accept the Supreme Lord as the Father. And therefore, such occasions must be celebrated by practically the whole universe, actually. Evyajash Ghushuk Tribhuvana. Truly speaking, because when God recognizes someone, so in His kingdom, His devotee should be celebrated. Therefore, Prahlad is celebrated in all the three worlds. Because the Lord recognized. When the head of the country recognizes, that means in the whole country they celebrate. So if the Lord recognizes someone as a great personality, then in His kingdom, and God's kingdom is everywhere, people must recognize, appreciate, worship, and acknowledge such contributions. So, what is the contribution of an acharya? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote a small book about the acharyas of the four sampradayas. And in the introduction to that book, he wrote about the contribution made by an acharya. Specifying the unique position of an acharya. I'm just kind of summarized some of it, and I would like to read and speak something about that. Many think that the path of bhakti is a bed of flowers. Very simple. Krishna says in the Gita, Susukham Gartum Abhyayam. So sometimes people think bhakti is a bed of flowers. Why? Because those people who don't understand the complete science of bhakti think blind faith, indiscipline, whimsical performance of expression of devotion, recklessness, a lack of power of discrimination, sentimentalism and emotional outbursts as being in the category of devotional service. Therefore, such people think bhakti is a bed of flowers. But Shastras and Acharyas say that although bhakti is the only means to achieve the ultimate goal, it is full of thorns, especially so in Kali Yuga. So, the first contribution of an Acharya is, with selfless compassion, they warn those who are entering the path of devotional service of the obstacles that they are sure to face. you are bound to face, so that the sadhakas may safely and without disturbance reach the goal. How do they contribute that? By writing books and warn them, hey, be careful. No one has passed this path without tests, without examination. And Maya is not going to let everyone just pass away straight like that. And therefore, the first contribution they make is by giving literature. It's like a boat which helps us to very safely and quickly cross over a very difficult ocean of birth and death. Secondly, despite knowing all the different types of difficulties and troubles in removing the thorns, one should not lose enthusiasm for this service. Rather, the endeavor and enthusiasm will progressively increase as he progresses toward the goal. This increase in enthusiasm is one of the characteristics of an acharya. Utsahat nishchayat dhairyat. The electrifying enthusiasm of an acharya. Sometimes restlessness of the mind is also mistaken for enthusiasm. Jumping one place to another like the rabbit and the hare, rabbit and the tortoise story. But the enthusiasm exhibited by the acharyas is simultaneously full of patience, dhairyat. That is because of nishchaya. That is the common link between utsahat and dhairyat. Mere patience could be a sign of laziness. Mere enthusiasm could be a sign of restlessness. But mixed in tremendous enthusiasm with unlimited patience is the sign of full faith within the core of the heart of the acharyas. Why do sadhakas lack this enthusiasm? That is demonstrated by the lives and the example of all the great acharyas in every sampradaya. The problem of ordinary sadhakas like us, first is selfishness. Desirous of one's own happiness or one's own interests. And therefore, the welfare of our own selves, the long-term welfare of ours and others may be sacrificed. Dhanam, janam, sundarim, artha, artharthi, these kind of endeavors. And once they reach that, then kind of complacency comes. Second is laziness, to kind of overcome the difficulties. Oh, the world is like that. People are not going to change. They are like that. No point. Why beating your head against the wall? Therefore, relax. You also relax. I will also relax. Thirdly, fear of the shouts of irreligious people. Hey, what are nonsense? Okay. I don't want to disturb surroundings. So many allegations made. So many threats of the irreligious people. Fear. And fourthly, others may become bhajanaanandis to avoid the trouble of the criticism of others. Let the world go to hell. They don't appreciate my significant contribution. Let me just chant and be happy. Just go to some safe corner where nobody is done. I'll pray for the benefit of the whole world. I'll water the root of the tree here. That's all. No practical. Prahlad Maharaj says, Prayena deva munayo swavimukti kama maunam charanti vijane na paratmanishtha Maunam charanti. They just become silent. And Bijane, they go into secluded place. While the great acharyas go into the middle of the dens of, you know, forest of Maya. Rather than going in some secluded place. Now, how is it that the acharyas, in spite of so many factors which can completely discourage, continuously maintain such enthusiasm and steadiness? In spite of all odds, practically the whole world at their odds. Why? How are they able to maintain? What is that internal substance which gives them that enthusiasm? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, these are the words of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But an acharya, motivated by genuine concern for the distress of others, overcomes the above problems of the neophyte. Thinks, even if hundreds, thousands, or all the godless people of the countless universes assemble and abuse me with harsh language, I will accept it and boldly continue to declare the truth. If these topics enters the ears of even just one person, and if he removes the contamination of cheating propensity from his heart, then I will think that I have been able to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's mission. They are ready to face the whole universe's opposition, even if they can make one person. Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow. At that time, an iron curtain, so difficult to enter, what to speak of preach. And he happened to see one spark of interest in one person, student. Hours he spent there and sowed that seed, like, you know, fanned that spark a little and came back. And he said, that's good enough. He knew what he's entering into. He knew what the risk is involved. But even if one person was ready to take some interest, even in India, when he's trying to do, one fellow, it was very difficult for him to give up even coffee and tea. But still he was showing interest. He writes in his diary, even in New York, that, this person came today, he seemed to show some spark of interest. He writes in his diary. Today that person came again and showed some interest. That's enough. All the inconveniences suffered of traveling from here and suffering is all compensated. There is one person taking little interest in the process of bhakti and removing all the contamination from within his own heart. Ekas chandras tamohanti nachatara sahasrasha. Srila Prabhupada will quote this Niti Shastra Shloka. What are the types of... There are three types of lazy and unauthorized people. All who preach the truth faced stiff opposition from people who are selfish, who are averse to God, or who are envious. These are the three types of people who will oppose. The selfish people will oppose because this whole philosophy exposes them as selfish. Just the life of a selfless work of an acharya exposes them as very selfish, self-interested people. They don't like this philosophy. They will oppose, especially if it's becoming more popular. Second is averse to God. Asuram bhavam ashrita. And third, those who are envious, whether it is Haridas Thakur, whether it is Shivas Thakur, whether it is Tukaram Maharaj, we find typical selfish people, averse to God or the atheistic ones, and the envious. So there are three kinds of devotees amongst the sadhakas. The first and the third are dangerous, duplicitous. Second is not recommended. What are the first? Some people are idle, fond of sense gratification, and accept the conventional path of birth and death as being thornless, while accepting support from their blind followers. They make a little niche for themselves. Chor Guru Chandal Chela. They create some kind of following and they are happy. You just continue to scratch my back, I scratch yours, and here we have a society. And they are happy with that. They're really not actually understanding the essence. Second, they become fully absorbed in the bliss of their bhajan while maintaining an attitude of indifference regarding the welfare of the godless civilization. Okay, I've been fortunate to receive. I'll just chant and be happy. What can I do? Others won't listen to me. Third, they simply imitate true bhajanandis while desiring fame and sense pleasures, thus cheating themselves and others. In the life of Haridas Thakur, we find so many, he met people who were trying to imitate Haridas, just so that they could get name. Some snake charmer story. He is also trying to act the same way as Haridas Thakur acted. Because that's easy. To act like that is easy. You know, the external exhibitions of ecstasy. But the substance of a life of devotion, that's not possible to imitate. Of these, first and third are completely duplicitous, desiring sense gratification and being afraid of unrighteous people. They are averse to Krishna while posing to be devotees externally. Their goal and satisfaction is to please godless people. They never face harassment. They please everyone so as to earn wealth and attract women. Very beautifully, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, such people maintain Shakta philosophy internally, Shaiva philosophy externally, and Vaishnava philosophy publicly. Shakta philosophy means Shakti. This whole material world is meant for me to enjoy. So they worship Devi. Dhanam Dehi, Balam Dehi, Putram Dehi. Give me, give me, give me, so that I can enjoy. Squeeze the best from this material existence. That is called Shakta philosophy. And Shaivite philosophy, impersonalism, is indifference to the world. All this is mithya, mithya. Just renounce and go to the forest. So indifference. And the Vaishnava philosophy is of course paradukhadukhi. But that Vaishnava philosophy. So, publicly they demonstrate themselves as Vaishnavas. Kanti, Tilak. Kalir Chela, Galer Kanti, Hater Mala. Bhaktivinoda Thakur called them Kalir Chela. So Shakta philosophy internally. Internally, they want to get the best of every world. This world, that world, and they want troubles of no world. That is Shakta philosophy. And the Shaiva philosophy, impersonalism, indifference. What renounced? Doesn't touch anything. Doesn't touch money, doesn't touch matter. Because matter doesn't matter for them. So, indifference. In the name of Vairagya. And publicly they demonstrate simply Vaishnava philosophy. But they actually have no understanding. In a godless society or in media presented by godless people, the people who are mostly glorified are those who desire personal happiness, who accept the conventional path of birth and death, or who make a business of the holy name, mantras and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, or so-called renounced people who imitate Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. So these are the people who are generally glorified by the people as very great. So this is the struggle of an acharya. Fourthly, An acharya does not expect or care for the cheap adoration of ordinary people that materialistic so-called devotees hanker for. Prabhupada appreciated when some people praised this movement for their unique contribution. But he was not interested in simply this becoming very popular by general mass of people. Nor does he engage in solitary bhajan while considering only his personal self-interest. Rather, he follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and tries to deliver all the people of the world while setting the perfect example. So his focus is to please the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gatasya pantha. Even though such preachers are seen to be put into difficulty by malicious people, they are not actually disturbed. Even though there is so much of opposition and sometimes people threat and hurt them also. But they are not disturbed because, like Lord Vishnu, Vaishnavas too are transcendently situated. Even Ravana could not disturb Ram because he only kidnapped an illusory Sita. So they are aloof to these kind of disturbances because they are actually Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandvo, Nitya Sattvastu, Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. They have full faith that yes, the Lord is there, and therefore they don't worry about what kind of opposition may come. Anyone who preaches the truth will be opposed by those averse to God. Do not expect that it will be a bed of roses. Prahlad was the favorite of his father, most lovable object of affection for all. In mundane relation of illusion between father and son, a dark son looks fair. Even if he is dark, to the father he looks very fair. A blind looks as lotus-eyed, and a disgraced son as an ornament of the family. That's the nature of illusion. The moment he started speaking the truth, everything changed for Prahlad, to the extent that the father went to extreme degree of violence to kill his son, which even an ordinary father would never think of. When Ramanuja started speaking and defending the truth, first his guru Yadav Prakash planned to kill him. The Mayavadi guru actually tried to kill him. Later the priests at Srirangam on two occasions tried to poison him because he was trying to speak the truth, which was not very pleasant to those who were attached to certain things of this world. The Chola king, a fanatic Shaivite, planned to murder him or convert him to a Smartha Shaivite. Later, because of refusal to accept the proposition, Kuresh's eyes were plucked. When Lord Chaitanya enacted his pastimes as a pious householder, a learned Brahmana, an obedient student and an erudite teacher, pacifying the mother after the demise of her husband, exhibiting affection for birthplace and relatives, performing funeral rites for the father at Gaya, drinking water that washed the feet of the Brahmana, the atheists and the Karmakandis praised him because he was falling in line with the conventional things, traditional things, which is also part of devotional service, but that was in perfect harmony with their lifestyle. So they didn't object. But after returning from Gaya, when he started preaching, all the criticisms and blasphemy started. Purve bhala chilai nimai pandit, Gaya haite asiya chalaye viparit, Shuni krodha kaila sabo, padu yargan, sabe mili kare tabe prabhura nindan. Sabadesha bhashta kaila ekala nimai, Brahmano marite chahe dharma bhayanai. This rascal is trying to beat all our Brahmanas and is criticizing Brahmanas, criticizing all of us. This fellow is going viparit to the society. He must be punished. Puna yadi aiche kare mariva tahare, কোনো বা মানুষ হয়ে কি করিতে পারে, লেট আস সি হু ইজ গোন টু ডিস্টার্ব, উই আর গোন টু কিল দিস পার্সন এগেইন ইফ হি ট্রাইস টু ডু দিস, দেন দেয়ার অরিজিনাল নেচার কেম আউট, ওয়েন দেয়ার কমফর্ট জোন ওয়াজ ডিস্টার্ব, দে ডিডন্ট লাইক ইট, দে স্টার্টেড ব্লাসফেমিং. Another contribution of an acharya is how they are completely transcendental and independent to the surrounding situation of the state or the country. They're completely transcendental. The leaders of society may be rulers of kingdom, may have the power to punish and kill, but a Vaishnava and especially an acharya is never subject to their control. The so-called Vaishnavas may lick their feet, but a real Vaishnava neither care for them nor is afraid of their allegations because he is free from the contamination of Kali. It doesn't mean that he is ruthless. As far as possible, he will try to accommodate the best possible thing. But if it goes completely against the grain of his, above the substance, absolutely no compromise. When an acharya, when the acharyas preached the truth in this world, they also had to face stiff opposition. By studying their lives, one can see how they simultaneously displayed anger at those who are envious of the devotees and set the ideal example for the benefit of others without any personal motive. Therefore, studying the lives of an acharya, a person Bhagavat, is very important. Because book Bhagavat is very difficult to apply in our life. Principles are clear, but how to apply it, the expertise, daksha, one of the qualities of a pure devotee is daksha, very expert at getting things done. How to be in the world but not become of the world. Padma Patra Mivambhasa. How to act effectively in this material world but totally be untouched by this world. Very difficult. Sometimes it's easy to act in the extremes. Go completely fanatic or totally liberal in the name of liberality. But the perfect balance, therefore, Mahajano Yena Gadasapanta. Therefore, on these occasions, when we take the life of an acharya, deeply try to study and understand in a particular given circumstance or a situation or a condition how an acharya behaved, that is the standard that is set. Mahajano yena. Why? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Therefore, on these occasions, going deep into their lives and their activities. Because as I think one Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj in one Vaishnava, a manual, on a lecture on Vaishnava etiquette, behavior, lifestyle and attitude. He expressed very nicely. He said, what is the standard of Vaishnava etiquette, behavior, attitude and lifestyle? What exactly is the standard? Who wrote? A Lord comes and dictated Vaishnava etiquette. Hey, this is the Vaishnava etiquette. He says, the essence of Vaishnava etiquette is pure love. The essence of Vaishnava etiquette is pure love. When you genuinely love every living entity and love Krishna, the activities born out of that loving relationship, Ishware tad adhineshu, balisheshu, dushatsu, prema, maitri, kripa, upeksha, all of this is an expression of love. When to avoid, when to befriend, when to respect, when to, you know, be aloof. So when devotees from the spiritual world descend amongst this world, amongst these people in the world, they carry pure love of Krishna in their heart. And every thought, word and action of theirs is instigated or inspired by that love. And therefore, their action must be noted, cannot be imitated, of course. We have to have the discrimination. And what is that essence of discrimination? If what they are speaking, what they are following, then follow in their footsteps. But sometimes they do something which is against their teachings. Then don't follow. Just worship that activity and you follow what is to be followed. For example, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, danced with the gopis. Don't follow this. Lord Shiva drank poison. Don't follow this. But Lord Shiva was always compassionate and showed compassion. That we can follow. If we try to imitate the acharyas, we'll die. Or we'll fall away. So if their activity and their teaching, there is some discrepancy, then follow their instruction. Don't follow their example. Otherwise, follow their example. Bhishma is one of the Mahajans. But we can't imitate Bhishma by standing against Krishna. But his prayers to be followed. His life of dedication to protecting and always siding the Pandavas. Dharma, that is to be followed. Simply by seeing, hearing and scrutinizingly studying the lives of such pure devotees, devotion for the maintainer of all living entities, Lord Vishnu becomes established within the heart. Thus, an acharya who takes the responsibility of preaching the truth will invariably face many impediments while acting for the welfare of human society by those godless people who are the majority of the world's population and are firmly determined to bring about their own ruination. In spite of the opposition, the greatly magnanimous personalities tirelessly endeavor to benefit those suffering in material existence. So, this one particular verse, first verse in the beginning after the Mangalacharan, in Srila Prabhupada's own words, a glorification of an acharya is given. A rishi. Rishayaha. Naimishe animishakshetre. Rishayaha. Shaunakadayaha. Satram swargaya lokaya. Sahasra samamashram. So, Prabhupada translates, who is a rishi? Sometimes we have in Mahabharata and Ramayana serial, Maharaj Dasharath, rishi is walking. Matted hair, saffron cloth, and having Rudraksha and all vibhuti. Hey, what's? Kya chal raha hai aapke rajya mein? We have a typical understanding of rishi means he must be like this. But a sign of a rishi is expressed here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport itself. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. This is the first qualification of a rishi tattva. Do we have rishi tattva in our heart? If we are going to pay back rishi rin, which is also one part of rin, we are debt. Deva, rishi, bhutap, trinam, pitrina. Rishi rin is very important. And how do we pay back? By developing some rishi tattva in our heart. The first thing is, they are anxious to do good to the people in general. At least they are concerned. There is so much suffering going on. This should not have happened. So many people are suffering. So, paradukha dukhi. Even though they may be very comfortable, they may be actually transcendental to all these situations, But when they see the suffering people, they're full of anxiety. For themselves, they are not in anxiety. They are in tremendous anxiety when to see the sufferings of others. So therefore, at least if we develop this quality, this much, when we see somebody else's suffering, and the greatest suffering is due to ignorance of the relationship with Krishna. That's the root cause of all suffering. If you remove the ignorance, chakshurunmilitam ajnanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya. Because once you remove that ignorance and they come to a transcendental platform, then even though they are in the world, they become also aloof. So the first thing is their anxiety. Second, now, so many people may be in anxiety. There are so many social organizations, philanthropic organizations. Even they have concerns. Even they have feeling. That's why all these organizations, philanthropic organizations, have been open to serve the suffering of the society. But the second quality of the rishi is lacking in them. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well. People have no clue how to address the suffering in the today. Where they have little energy, time, effort, but they don't know where to put that energy. Should we remove this suffering first? Should we remove bodily suffering? Should we remove mental suffering? Suffering of the handicapped people? Suffering for this people? Or the downtrodden people? But everyone is suffering. The richest person is also suffering in his own way. People have no clue where to actually they have no panacea which removes suffering from the root of every type. But the sages know it well. What is that? Yatha taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashaka pranopahara cha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarnam achyutejya. If only they take up to devotional service, all their problems will be solved. They are convinced about this. Therefore they emphasize, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's only one problem in this world, lack of Krishna consciousness. And there's only one solution, Krishna consciousness. But unfortunately, because it is not so much tangibly visible, therefore people can't relate. If there is a tree, if someone pours water on the leaf, it is visible, tangible. But if someone pours it on the ground at the root, at the base of the tree, those who don't know the science of biology, they say this is foolish, he's wasting water. He's wasting water, why is he pouring on the ground? The whole tree is up there and he's pouring there. They can't see the connection. All the problems in the world exist due to pollution of the heart. This is the root cause. There is enough in the world for everyone's need, but not enough for one man's greed. The problem is not there, the problem is here. One environmentalist made a statement, if all the human species gets away from this planet, no damage ever will be done to any of this flora and fauna and anything. There will be no damage whatsoever. Any other species goes, there will be big damage. But if human being goes away from this planet, no damage will be done. Maximum damage today, whatever is pollution, this, that, whatever is caused by human being. With polluted heart. Mahashano, Mahapapma, Vidhyenam, Miha Vairinam. The greatest enemy is within. Therefore, if a person becomes Krishna conscious, Sau Sonarki Ek Loharki. Sau Sonarki, the goldsmith, they have a small hammer, tuk, 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 tuk. And the blacksmith has only one, Ek Mar Do Tukda. So the process of Krishna consciousness is like that. All other things automatically happen when a person becomes Krishna conscious, God conscious. So we may say, well, I think I'm a Rishi because I'm also slightly concerned and I know the solution. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Sorry, there is third qualification also. They are sincere friends to all living entities and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. See, they not only are concerned, they not only are aware of the solution, convinced about the solution, but to put it to action, they are ready to undergo, take any risk without worrying, like taking a jump without knowing where they are entering into. Let's see. That is dependence on the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, simply to execute the order of his guru, deciding to go to America. He had no idea, 40 rupees. What will happen after reaching there? His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, at GEV when we went, we were sitting in Prabhupada's room. And at that time, he started speaking about the three books, the three volumes, first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, three parts of the first volume. He was speaking about that. It was written by here in this particular room, he was emphasizing. And then he said, he had no money other than the books that he wanted. And therefore, whoever he would meet, somehow he will give the book. Just to somehow, you know, inspire people to take the book. So he went there. Nobody would buy his book. Nobody would buy his book. He had to push it. They couldn't appreciate so much. It's a long story, a very beautiful one. But the essence is, he wrote the book and he wanted to go abroad and he told one Maharashtrian gentleman who was in charge of a book called Universal Books. He sent him copies of this books before even going abroad. And he said, you place it in all the bookshops. And whatever profits come, you take your share and send me the amount. Then he went abroad. He had no money. So he wrote to this gentleman and he said, you can be my book, you be distributor and whatever money comes, you sell and kindly send me the money because I desperately need it here. So this person wrote, and he said, if you want, you can become distributor for the whole of India. This person sent a letter saying that, Swamiji, nobody is interested in spiritual books. And in fact, wherever I have placed, those book people are returning me back. So forget about India. I can't even take up Maharashtra distribution. He wrote back like that. No money and I'm sending the book back. He was with Sally Agarwal and Gopal Agarwal. And he was such at Butler in 1965 when he went. Gopal Agarwal himself was a odd man out because he was an Indian, because it was very traditional kind of a Butler in 1960s. They were like, everyone was an American there. Nobody was out. One person Indian, though he was wearing suit, boot, everything, dressing like them, but still he was considered. What to speak of a very, very different looking Swami with a particular robe and a hairstyle. Everyone would ask Sally. Therefore, just to get away from that inquiries, she put it in the newspaper, local newspaper, that this Swami staying in our house is so and so. He has come from India, this is his mission, so that nobody keep asking her the same question. And this was read by a professor from a local university, and he called him for a lecture. So indirectly, Sally Agarwal was instrumental for the first college program that Prabhupada did. See, he went. Professor Carlson or something. So Prabhupada went, and that professor met Radhanath Swami in 1978 or 79, when Maharaj had gone to that university for a program. And they sat on the same bench in the park where, the professor was telling, the place where you are sitting is the same place Swamiji was sitting and I was sitting here, the same place in 1965, 66. And he was telling, 11 years later. And he said, he came to me and he spoke to me for 1 hour. So Maharaj was inquisitive. What did he talk about? And he said, he was asking about all the trees. Which tree is this? Elm tree or birch tree? This one. He was asking about trees. And I was telling him about this. And then he said, I will tell you about the trees in our country, especially in Vrindavan where I come from. And then he talked about, you know, different tamal tree, this tree. And every tree, there was a pastime of Krishna attached. Under this tree, Krishna performed his pastime. In this way, he was kind of gradually giving him, little by little, slow nectaring of philosophy. And then, last request he said, can you help me place these books in the library? And they went. Prabhupada was accompanied by this person, and this person requested the librarian to keep Prabhupada's books, and they kept, the first book to be kept in that library was that particular university, I don't remember the name now. So that, they placed that book, and then they came out, and then Prabhupada handed him also, the professor, you should also buy the one set. And the professor, he said, I bought that set. And in this way, and so when Maharaj heard this, he went to the local ISKCON center and told them, please go and that original set of books must be there. You just go and find out. And they went and they, as it is, the books were there. No one had touched them. Only one of the volume had been taken once because the seal was there. Otherwise the other books were untouched. So the devotees went with the new publications, you know, BBT publications. And they told the librarian, excuse me, we have the most recent, there are no pictures in that book. Here we have very good pictures. These are recent volumes. We want to replace them. The librarian said, oh, well, I will give it, but we can't pay you money for that. He said, don't worry. As if they are doing a great favor. He said, no, you can keep this and we will take that. No problem. And they took it. This was Prabhupada's first volume that Prabhupada carried. So, you know, that was taken. Anyway, the point was, after selling all this book, he had some $144 or $244 or something. All the books sold, Brahmananda also, he gave one set of books he had collected. And when he got this matchless gift, for 1 month salary or 1 month rent was all the money that he had for the books, from the books. He gave it away. Not knowing next month what will he do? All the books that he had brought, all the money that he had got, he paid for the first month's rent of 26 Second Avenue. Not knowing what has happened. This is the dependence on the Lord. Taking risk. Let's see what will happen. And how yathamam prapadyante, how Krishna reciprocates. Sometimes you wonder why a pure devotee of the Lord is put into such things. Because other than them, no one can handle this. And they want to show to the whole world. Krishna wants to show. A mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law through the daughter. So the Lord teaches the devotees and teaches the world through his pure devotee. Because they can go through all this and not lose their faith. Others will be lost. They'll break down. That's one of the reasons why devotees are put into such kind of extreme conditions. Because their substance is brought out. When gold is thrown inside the fire, real gold shines forth. And here their compassion is shown and their expertise. Imagine thousands of sages, why they chose Naimisharanya of all the places. This shows their smartness. They are not naive. They are not fools. They are extremely intelligent. With least effort, they want to get the best effect. With least effort, they want to get maximum benefit. This is a super businessman. Practically no investment, eternal profit. Who doesn't want? So they chose Naimisharanya. Because any service performed there has effect to reduce the demoniac influence all over the world. And that is the center of the universe as contemplated by Brahma. So if you water the root of the tree, every part will be nourished. So they knew with a little, if you have only one glass of water and you have a huge tree, where all will you water? Best is pour it in the root. So they decided to spend their energy there. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, intelligent and brilliant that he was, wanted his disciples to go to London. If they take it up, because at that time British Empire was practically controlling half of the planet. See, if they take up Krishna consciousness, wherever their empire is, it will spread. Wherever they have influence. Srila Prabhupada understood the essence of that. And in the late 60s or mid 60s, at that time, London had gone down. America had become the hub, as it is explained here, the hub of the wheel. So he said, anyway, I am an old man. I have 10, 15 years. Let me invest at a place where it will have maximum effect. Because whatever Americans do, the whole world follows. So if I make American white elephants, them into Vaishnavas, and if they accept Vaishnavism, whatever Americans do, India will follow. That's the brilliance. Bhaktisiddhanta says that he not ordered to go to America. He took the essence of the instructions. He understood. Absolute, essential, thou hast proved impersonal calamity. He understood the heart of his guru. And he applied it according to time, place and circumstance. Therefore he went to the West. And sure enough, can you imagine? From 65 to 77, creating an international society with his few, you know, like few disciples. Amazing. So, Naimishe, choosing of place. Animisha Kshetre, a place which will give maximum benefit and which will actually satisfy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote, how unfortunate that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, such a literature, is only confined to the walls within India. You know, Mahaprabhu said, Prithivite Ache Jato Nagradigram, Sarvatra Prachara Vimona. That was the burning. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent in 1896 his first book to McGill University. They were trying in their situation. Prabhupada understood the heart of it. And actually, Animisha Kshetre, a place which will have maximum influence and please the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, and please his devotees, whose life is dedicated to make it a worldwide movement. Prithivite Ache Jato Nagradigram. Saptram, very interesting. Saptram is a sacrifice where there is no one yajman. I was thinking, how can at the end of Dwapar Yuga, when life was becoming very short, how they decided to do for 1,000 years? Sahasra Samam. This was their vision and this was their determination. And this was their expertise. Okay, we will start this yajna, but this will go on for next so many 1,000 years. That was their determination. That was their vision. Choosing the place and deciding to start a satra. Satra means Not one Yajman, continuously changing Yajman. Just like we have a 7 days Akhand Harinam. That doesn't mean 7 days same fellow will be singing. You will be finished. Every 2 hours, Agya Kartale. Then you go away. They keep looking for an alternate, next replacement. So similarly, the whole Guru Parampara is a Satram. One leaves, wherever one leaves, the other one takes from it. It's like a relay race. And they were sure, they were such, so determined that this will go on for next 10,000 years. Satram. And why? Because it is Swargaya, pleasing to Krishna. This is what Krishna wanted. This will please Krishna. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. And Lokaya. It will be the true welfare for the society at large. Sahasra samam. They knew, we may not live, but this will go on. When Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, aapke chale jane ke baad, kya hoga aapke sanstha ka? Then, no, it will go on. Why are you discouraging by speaking like this? It will go on. Even if one person takes it up, this mission will go on. The fire that I have lit, it will spread. ISKCON will go down in the history as a movement that saved the world in the darkest need of the hour. Hour of the need. So we see in Srila Prabhupada's purport, actual personification of a sage, of a rishi. Rishi Tattva. I would like to conclude with just one more. How I developed some kind of appreciation by reading this purport. Simultaneously, when I was reading this purport, I was also reading Mahabharata and Ramayana 2-3 years ago. And there, at that time, right at that section, the section that I was in was reading about Agastya Rishi. And when I read that Agastya Rishi's contribution to the world at that time, of his time, and I read of Prabhupada's contribution, I could see the similarities. After that, my appreciation for Srila Prabhupada increased many notches up. Rather than just saying, Jai Prabhupada. I was thinking, my God. Actually, some people come and offer respects because he's put in an altar there and obviously, koi to hoga. Itne log sab pranam kar rahe to, koi to mahatma honge. So people may touch their feet and go away. But genuinely, actually, I'm appreciating the more. There are 3 ways of showing respect. Physically, verbally, and mentally. Physically, people may imitate and show also. Everyone knowing, newcomer also does that. If everyone does, he also just follows without even knowing. Oh, da, koi to hoga, itne log kar rahe hain. So physical respect is glorifying, worshipping, and offering. Verbally, we praise and offer Jaya Srila Prabhupada, you know, like Srila by some address. The way we address someone, we show verbal respect. I was asking children at Gopal's Garden, I said, how do you show mental respect? Minus the physical, minus the verbal, how do we show mental respect? Only mentally, how do we know we have respect for some person? When we recognize their unique contribution. When we deeply appreciate their contribution to the world. When we worship that contribution, and when we try to apply it in our life and also share it with others. This is the best way we can actually show our respect to Prabhupada. And these days serve that very purpose. Because by hearing about what is this contribute, why are we putting him on the altar? Why are we worshipping him? The founder Acharya, what a visionary, established an international society. How could he do it at that age with practically no facilities? So, I was reading about Agastya Rishi. What are his contributions? The One of the contributions, significant contribution, during the time of Ramayana he was there. During the time of Parshuram he was there. He was a contemporary of that time. So, Agastya gave Lord Ramchandra the Aditya Hridaya arrow weapon, which actually was instrumental in killing Ravan. Otherwise Ravana was not getting killed at all. Of course Ram doesn't need all this. But he's showing through this, by the mercy of these great sages, the king was able to eliminate demonic force. So, during that time, Vindhya mountain in the mid of Bharatvarsha was growing and growing and competing with the Himalayas. And so much so, if it had grown like Himalayas, it would have divided the people on this side and that side into two different nation altogether. With culture different, language difference. That happens, na? India and China. Their language is different, culture is different, lifestyle is different. Everything is different because there is a huge mountain between the two. So there is no communication. No communication and no interaction. So when Vindhya was growing like that, Agastya came to know, if Vindhya grows again, then the unity of this whole two sides, regions of this mountain would be finished. And therefore, he crossed Vindhya, and in so many versions, he was responsible for subduing Vindhya. Not to grow, to spoil the culture, or to the unity of the culture to be broken. Aga means mountain. Sthayate means one who pushed down the mountain and caused unity between the two sides of the people living on the two sides of the mountain. Agastya. That's why his name is Agastya. Secondly, during the time of Parshuram, Parshuram destroyed all the Kshatriyas. And when Kshatriyas were gone, they could not protect the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas lost their Brahminical culture. So the Brahmanas were gone, the Kshatriyas were gone. Agastya traveled all over the planet and created Brahminical and Kshatriya culture. Again, by various means. There were powerful forces, demoniac forces, which were trying to destroy Brahminical culture by destroying the Brahmanas. And the height of them, one of the most powerful ones was Ilvala and Vatapi. Ilvala had a brother, Vatapi. He would, by his power, mystic power, convert Vatapi into a ram, a male goat, and cut him, and cook him, and feed him, you know, in a disguised way to the Brahmanas, saying that this is Pitru, what is it? Shraddha. Palapaitrikam. During the Shraddha, they offered like that. The Brahmanas would eat. Don't ask me how they were able to digest and maintain their Brahminical. In the previous ages, in Kali Yuga, it is not allowed. Five things are not allowed. Palapaitrikam. Pala means meat in the Shraddha ceremony. So they would feed. And after the Brahmana had eaten, this fellow would call out, Vatapi, come out. And Vatapi would gone inside the belly, would tear the belly of the Brahmana and come out. In full form. He has this Mrita Sanjeevani mantra. So demoniac were powerful, these people, mystic yogis. So they would kill hundreds and thousands of Brahmanas like this. Agastya came to know. He was in north. He came, crossed the Vindhya and came to the south. And Ilvala and Vatapi came to know about the power of Agastya. They are very expert. They know. Hiranyakashipu exactly knew. If you want to destroy Vishnu, what you should do. Similarly, the demons really know where to, whom all to catch. If you catch these people and subdue them, everyone else will be apne aap apne changul mein aa jayenge. And Agastya also came to know. Agastya became a self-invited fellow. in the house of Ilvala. And Ilvala said, wow, I was just looking for a Brahmana. Because today is my father, every day he would do Shraddha for his father. Whenever he saw a Brahmana, he would come perform Shraddha for his father. He said, I was just thinking of performing Shraddha. Yes, I knew, that's why I came. Agastya said. And he turned Vatapi into a ram, cut him, cooked him, and offered it to Agastya. Agastya ate him up. And, thank you for your hospitality. May I leave now? No, I want to give some dakshina. Okay, very nice. After that, Vatapi! Come out! Nothing. Vatapi, come out! Why are you shouting? No, Vatapi, come out. Agastya said, no, I have already digested him. And in some places it says he belched so loudly. For a long time he belched. But in the Mahabharata it is said, he lifted his body and flatulated so loudly that there was an earthquake. Past air, so to say. Meaning, you pass air only when you have digested the food. Or you belch only when you have digested. In this way. And then, Ilvala was very angry, and by his power he destroyed Ilvala also. And saved the Brahminical culture from being destroyed. Thirdly, Agastya, it is described, had a very special mantra. From tree, just like you know, there's some trees give some kind of juice, extract, which if you keep it, it becomes liquor. Tadi, you know tadi? After some time it becomes, after sunrise it becomes liquor. He knew the art of collecting this extract from the trees, putting it in leather bags and keeping it in the sun and chanting some mantras. In 40 days, that so-called liquor contained in the bag would become nectar. So he had a technique, a way of converting liquor into nectar by mantra and by some process. In Melukote, there is a place where Agastya lived and worshipped Krishna. There is a lake. It seems Agastya created that lake. And once a crow came and touched the water, and as soon as it touched the water, it became a swan and flew away. So when I heard all this, and I was thinking, in what way is Prabhupada less than any of all these rishis, Atri Rishi, you know, all these powerful rishis of the past, powerful mystic power, because the demons were also mystic power. So, the sages also had powerful mystic powers. I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada also made an international society for Krishna consciousness. And by making his international society, he brought down all the mountains, the mountain of false ego, janasya mohoyam aham mameti. All the mountain of false ego, which separates one culture from another culture, one race from another race, one community from another community, one religion from another religion. But the great sages, by exposing the illusion, nirmana moha jita sanga dosha, adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama, dvandvair vimuktaha sukha dukkha sange, he removed the mountain of illusion born out of false ego and made an international society, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. Not just one Vindhya mountain, all Alps mountain, this mountain, that, any mountain that exists on this planet, and brought a unifying society of devotees. Vishwa Vaishnava Rajya Sabha. Secondly, he not only destroyed but digested the demoniac people who were influencing the Brahmanas and completely destroying them. How? By writing literatures. The so-called materialistic scientists, materialistic professors, philosophers, administrators. It's like slow poisoning. They write on the Bhagavad, they write on the Gita. Politicians who have no right to speak on this. And through Gita and Bhagavad, they would introduce invisibly atheism or materialism by minimizing God's position and maximizing his apparent faults or limitations. This and all the Brahmanas of India, what to speak other places, were getting influenced. All the intelligent class of people were becoming digested and destroyed by feeding them this kind of knowledge. It would go inside and completely tear away their whatever faith they had to respect that culture. But Prabhupada, by blasting them through his words, fools and rascals, all scientists, material scientists, can you imagine? Dare speak like that to these are the leaders, they are the more powerful, influential people, whole world is worshipping them, and to call them fools and rascals? Not everyone, but those who were actually demoniac, whose intention, agenda was clearly demoniac. He exposed them. Expose these professors, expose these philosophers, expose these so-called incarnations. Anyone, not sparing anyone, who had any other agenda other than presenting the knowledge as it is. This is how he digested them. How? Once you digest them, there is no question of their existence. Anyone who has read Srila Prabhupada's books, he develops such clarity. He can. Yesterday we were reading in the Brahmachari class. Lord Chaitanya's followers, pratyaksharu, no, dharma projita kaitava, all kaitava dharma. What goes on in the name of dharma? Everything was exposed. Nobody can actually. Killing them means stopping their influence. Anyone who has exposed to the son of Bhagavat cannot be affected, cannot be influenced by any of this superficial philosophy which bring out non-devotional conclusions. They can easily find out. Sometimes we are known as fanatically, you know, this is Mayavad, this is Sajya, this is this, this is that. Of course, we shouldn't be doing it in a very immature way. But fact is, other than anything other than pure devotional service, whether it is auspicious or materially inauspicious, it's all inauspicious if it doesn't lead to pure devotional service. Ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. Agastya transformed liquor into nectar by putting them in leather bags, exposing them to the sun and chanting mantra. And I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada traveled. He traveled all over the world. Agastya traveled all over the world creating Brahmanas and Kshatriyas to again repopulate and bring Dharma. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world talking to the topmost leaders, influential people. Whatever his influence could gather through his disciples, he was ready to talk to any one of them, wanting to make Brahmanas. Not Brahmanas, just Brahma, Vaishnavas. All over the world. The most intellectual people, he wanted them to become Vaishnavas and teach Vaishnava culture all over the world. And he did it. And as regards transforming liquor into nectar, by putting in the skin bag, I was thinking when Srila Prabhupada went to the best West, Everyone's heart is full of liquor. In the sense, it's contaminated knowledge, ignorance, covered in a skin bag, that is the human body. But by exposing them to the sun of Krishna consciousness, Krishna Surya Sama, and by chanting the mantra which could transform the heart into nectar, all the unwanted ignorance can turn into nectar. Everything remains the same. Their body, manasa deha geha jogi chumor, or pilun tuvapade nanda kishor. And as regards forming a lake where a crow can take bath and become a swan, Srila Prabhupada gave us rasamalayam, the Srimad Bhagavatam, a pond of nectar, where tad vayasam tirtham ushanti manasa nayatra hamsa niramantu shikshaya. That crow-like people who are attracted to so many nonsensical literature, crows sit, place of pilgrimage for the crows is the corporation dustbin, where chewing the chewed, already on the same thing, just made different packaging. To such people, tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam abaddhavatyabi namani anantasya yashah ankitaniyat shanvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. He gave such pond of nectar, anyone who bathes even once, shushu shubhis tat kshanat, if only they lend a submissive oral reception to drink this nectar and take a dip. Bhagavad Gita, Gita Jayanti is coming. Mala nirmochanam pumsam jalasnanam dine dine sakrit Gita amrita snanam samsara malanashanam. Gita Mahatmya says. So by wandering in this material creation, we have developed so much of unwanted thing. But by once taking bath in either Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, sakrit, sakrit means only once, Gita Amrita Snanam, samsara mala nashanam. And a crow-like people who are taking relish in the throne way, you know, chewing the chewed, are now become hamsas and relishing only pure nectar of Krishna and anything in relation to Krishna. So in this way we see how Srila Prabhupada is all the Rishi Parampara brought alive, all in one practically. So many wonderful ways that all the great avatars and all the great acharyas have contributed in the same mood, carrying the same mood, Srila Prabhupada has also contributed. So on this day, remembering these contributions, the life, the examples, the teachings, and the activities of such acharyas amongst devotees, if we can develop little respect, little appreciation, so that we can actually worship and serve Srila Prabhupada in a way that is actually befitting a personality like him, then I think observing these days and celebrating such days would be meaningful. Otherwise it will become ritualistic. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Today is a fasting day, so I thought I can take the liberty to speak extra. I'm actually feasting on what I have. I'm only speaking for my purification, but actually I was relishing myself. I don't know whether you relished or not, but I relished my class. Hare Krishna. Because these are the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada's own words in glorifying a great soul. Hare Krishna.